Ace Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Jonas from the Crazy Town Podcast. You are listening to two middle-aged dudes in a microphone on the Ace Podcast Network.
Coming up on this episode...
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, my client, Claudie...
Oh, ow, ow, ow! That'd be great.
And Mr. Hot Pants over there.
Yeah, oh.
But he again failed and made a quick exit without getting any cash.
So you ain't afraid of my banana, eh? Well, look at this. Look what else I got.
Well, sorry, that, to me that seemed a bit bendy, and that right there seems a bit rigid. I don't think it's a gun. A lake on the outskirts, not to be confused with the lake on the inskirts, in southern Australia, has turned a shade of pink because of a strange natural phenomenon. I was waiting.
All this and more on this episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone.
10. 9, we have ignition sequence start. Engines on, 5, 4, 3.
Hello there, and thank you for tuning in to Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone, the podcast that brings you the best in weird news and strange stories and funny stuff, and we do it every Monday and every Friday. My name is Aaron.
And I'm Craig.
And we're coming to you live from the Lee Berry Studios.
Yeah, we are.
You doing all right, Craig?
I'm all right.
You ready for some news?
Maybe.
You got top story?
Maybe.
Top story.
Lawyer's pants burst into flames as he defends an arsonist.
Okay, there's two things about this headline that grabbed my attention. And thank you for sending me this story, by the way. Lawyer's pants burst into flames. That would be enough
to get the story
on our show.
Right.
But as he's defending an arsonist,
he is.
What kind of hoodoo voodoo is going on here?
What kind of strange irony?
What is the weirdness here? And you know where it's from?
It's from...
In Florida, I went berserk.
Coming straight from Miami, Florida.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
An old playground accusation might come to mind when you hear this story. Attorney Steven Gutierrez is said to have been fidgeting with something in his pocket as the trial was coming to a close, with smoke billowing from his pocket. He ran out of the courtroom. When he returned, still wearing his burned pants, he blamed the fire on a faulty e-cigarette battery.
Sure he did.
The judge wasn't so sure, and now prosecutors are investigating the incident. They are concerned that he staged the fire as part of his case. I don't think so. If they look at the history of these things, they have a tendency, like phones, they just kind of like freak out and explode. His client, Claudie Charles, was accused of intentionally setting his car on fire and was charged with arson. His lawyer's defense strategy rests on claims that the car spontaneously combusted. Incidentally, Charles was found guilty.
Cars do not spontaneously combust. Something has to make them.
Something internally or outside of the... Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like a bomb.
Yeah,
or faulty wiring.
Yeah, or an e-cigarette on the seat.
Or e-cigarette on the seat.
So Charles was found guilty. Do you think that his attorney, Mr. Steven Gutierrez, was thinking, okay, I'm gonna make something catch fire so that people can see it happen?
I can see where that would be a crafty thing to try. I think these e-cigarettes already have a history. Just like, I don't know if they run on lithium batteries. If they are lithium batteries, there's your answer, because they're just crazy.
I don't know about you, but I would have loved... I wish somebody had this on video. You know, it's, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, my client, Claudie...
Oh, ow, ow, ow! That'd be great.
And Mr. Hot Pants over there.
Yeah, ooh. All right, headline is, man smashes bottle on Met security guard's head over crooked painting. I tell you what, Craig, this is an art lover.
This is a Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Yes, and you don't hang a painting crooked. Ever.
No.
Never.
Not when we live in a world where levels are freely available.
On your phone, you got a level.
On your phone.
It's ridiculous.
You could go to Ace Hardware. You could go to Home Depot.
I'd smash a bottle, too. Why not? This has comes
well,
to us.
Here's the other thing, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is culture, right?
Yes.
You're being cultured.
I say.
Don't be, yeah. Excuse me, sir. That painting up there seems to be a bit off.
I noticed that it's not quite straight. It's a bit crooked.
And then he probably got in trouble for climbing over the rope.
Sure.
Putting his phone on top of it, trying to level it out, just trying to be a good citizen.
Well, this comes to us from Upper East Side. A security guard at the Metropolitan Museum of Art was struck over the head with a bottle by a man who got upset over a painting he said was crooked, according to the NYPD.
Well, I mean, there's no reason to throw a perfectly good bottle.
I agree. That's ridiculous, and especially, you know, if it has something in it. The suspect went up to the guard inside the Met at 6:15 and told him that a painting was hanging crooked on the wall.
Hey, dude, that painting over there is hanging crooked.
The response from the security guard
was... I don't know why.
What's he doing there?
Why? He's not cultured.
The response from the security guard wasn't to his liking, a police spokesman said, so the suspect clobbered him with a bottle. I wonder what the response was. Hey, buddy, ain't my job. I'm just here to guard it.
Clang.
Don't touch it.
Clang. Rang his bell.
The victim was taken to New York Presbyterian Weill Cornell Medical Center in
That's
stable condition.
That's a long
condition.
Name.
Boy, it is. The suspect, shown in surveillance video released by police, sporting a long beard while standing at the kiosk inside the museum, fled the scene.
I'm out of here.
Hey, I wonder if we know where Jess or Sid was from the Beardy Five, because, you know.
That does sound.
Fled the scene and has not yet been arrested, according to authorities. They haven't found this guy yet, and they got him on video. Police described him as 20 to 25 years old, 5'8", about 150 pounds. We're thankful that no visitors were injured in this incident.
Funny, you don't have your beard now.
And it's true. And the security, I wish I weighed 150 pounds. The security officer suffered
your
only
beard might have.
Minor injuries. A spokesman for the Met said, "We are grateful for the professionalism of our security team and are working in coordination with the NYPD on this incident." And by the way, Craig, no works of art were damaged in this incident.
The security guard was quoted as saying, "Oh."
Oh, man, I wanted this story.
No, you're not getting it.
Dang it.
I'll handle the fish, chip, and banana stories from
go,
here on out,
go.
Mister. Man tried to rob a fish and chip shop with a banana.
This is awesome. And there's pictures of this out there.
Police are looking for a man who tried to rob a fish and chip shop with a banana. Because
a
they want to shake his hand.
Was it a fish and chip shop with a banana that he tried to rob?
Or was it a fish and chip shop and he used a banana?
That's what it is, I believe.
As long as you believe, anything is possible. The masked bandit burst through the doors of the takeaway in Atherton, Greater Manchester. This is an English
yeah,
story here.
Yeah, that's right.
On February 11th, screaming.
Go ahead.
Open that. Register now. He tried to fool staff into thinking he had a gun, but one of the workers noticed the object inside his bag was quite bendy. It was quite bendy.
It was so bendy, it couldn't have been a gun.
I'm not quite sure, but I think it's a bit bendy. CCTV.
My favorite channel.
Yeah. And it's everywhere.
It is.
CCTV then showed him fumbling in his pocket, trying to pull out another weapon.
Uh-oh. It was an apple.
It's his keys. Yeah. But he again failed and made a quick exit without getting any cash.
So you ain't afraid of my banana, eh? Well, look at this. Look what else I got.
Well, sorry, to me that seemed a bit bendy. And that right there seems a bit rigid. I don't think it's a gun. It's a bit bluey.
Well, you got in the other pocket there, plum.
Yeah, what's she going to do now? Yeah, you're right. He's not going to rob the place with a banana. Quit comparing apples and oranges. This is a banana.
Well, what if a bullet came out of it? You like my banana now, eh?
Hey, the Unknown Comic used to have a great routine with a banana, shooting a banana.
Speaking of Unknown Comic, if anybody knows Chuck Barris, if you could please have him call or...
We want to know where he buried the Unknown Comic.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to CCTV. CCTV then showed him fumbling in his pocket, trying to pull another weapon. But he again failed and made a quick exit without getting any cash.
What a waste. This guy's terrible.
Police are now hunting the suspect, who was described as six foot, and wearing a black hooded jacket with a blue jumper on top. His face was also covered with black material. That's racist. Detective Sergeant David Johnston said, "I'm appealing for information about this terrifying incident." Incidents?
Yeah,
incidents,
that's right.
Incidents.
Yeah. That's how they say it.
"Which has put these people's safety in danger."
Wait a minute.
"All for petty cash from a till."
What kind of danger? Slip on a banana peel?
I don't know. That would be brilliant.
Yeah.
You rob them, then throw the peel down.
You know what? They need to look for somebody at a fruit stand with a fish.
Maybe.
Trying to rob them.
"If anyone recognizes the man in the CCTV footage or has any other information that may help us, then I urge you to get in touch."
Interesting. That's a very interesting, weird story. So is this one. Headline is, man admits renting house to three different people at the same time.
Pupple? Three different pupple? Keep going. No, this is good stuff.
This is from Tom's River. A shore man.
Tom's River.
This man was shore. A shore man has admitted.
How sure was he?
To stealing over $9,000 by renting the same house to three different people while turning the keys over to only one of them, authorities said. The other two were knocking on the door. Hey, this is my house. Let me in.
Let me in.
Keith Boyce, age 54, of Ocean Gate, didn't even own the Lacey Township house.
They've got some great names here. Tom's River, Ocean's Gate.
Shore Man.
He's a shore man.
Keith Boyce. He didn't even own the Lacey Township house that he claimed was for rent, yet he collected $9,200 in prepaid rent. I don't know if this guy, I'd like to shake his hand. Actually.
I know. I don't know if he's a crook or just a mad scientist. I don't know what he's genius.
It reminds me of a Stephen Wright joke.
He's literally in a lab somewhere dreaming up this stuff.
Stephen Wright said, I sold my house today. Boy, my landlord's not happy. Okay. $9,200 in prepaid rent and security deposits from two people.
Who pays $9,200 prepaid for the rent?
Well, you got to cut that in half because it was two people who thought that they were going to move in, said Ocean County Prosecutor Joseph Coronato. Domo arigato, Joseph Coronato. On the day he was set to go to trial, Boyce pleaded guilty Tuesday to theft and failure to file a state tax return, Coronato said. The prosecutor
he
said...
He sounds like a really bad car from the 70s, the Coronato.
What do you got there? Oh, that's a GMC Coronato, baby.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. This thing's run about $9,200.
The prosecutor said Boyce admitted to taking $7,500 on January 12th from one woman as a security deposit. Now, that's a big security deposit. The first 3 months' rent and improvement fees for the house. Okay, so I guess that's about right. On February 1st, he accepted another $1,700 from another woman as a security deposit for the same home, according to the indictment. The victims became suspicious when Boyce demanded more money before they were allowed to move in, Coronato said. This guy's like, I'm raking it in, man.
I'm thinking I'll be lucky to have the rent money together for the first month, much less $9,200.
These people are just dishing it out.
I mean, why don't they just buy a house?
They later learned that another person was the actual owner, and the house was in foreclosure. So this story keeps getting deeper and deeper.
Why wouldn't you take, if you got that much money to give this guy,
yeah,
go put that down on a house.
I don't know. I don't get it. The tax charge was part of a separate indictment handed up in September, charging Boyce and his wife, Camelia, 27. Wow.
What's funny, she actually pronounces her name that way.
Yeah, she does. Hi, I'm Camelia. With failing to file New Jersey tax returns.
New Jersey.
The tax allegation against Camilla Boyce is still pending.
Camilla.
Under the plea agreement, Boyce will have to repay the victims all the money they gave him. Well, that's just paying them back.
Right.
Prosecutors will recommend he serve probation rather than a jail sentence.
Because why would we punish him?
Why? He's just, you know what he does? He's out there just making that green.
Yeah, well, you know what? Let's take that green and go to some pink.
Pink?
How about that?
Oh, yeah.
This is Down Under.
Well, this is our pink water segment. Because you know what? We got more than one pink water story.
How does that even happen?
So it's a segment.
If I was actually going to sit down and say, okay, I'm going to take guesses at what possibly we would have repeat stories on.
Pink water
would not land.
Wouldn't be, but it is Australian, mate.
Let's take it down under.
You want me to rate it?
No.
Because I got that voice.
That's why I don't want you reading it. Australian lake turns pink, an incredible natural phenomenon. Phenomenon. A lake on the outskirts, not to be confused with the lake on the inskirts, in southern Australia, has turned a shade of pink because of a strange natural phenomenon. I was waiting. Salt lakes in Westgate Park, Melbourne, change color every year with the season.
Really?
It's caused by a combination of very high salt levels. That lake's probably at a risk of a heart attack. and high temperatures, sunlight, and the lack of rainfall.
Interesting. I want water that changes colors with the seasons. Can you make that happen?
No. According to Parks Victoria, whatever that is.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's the Parks Department.
Must be.
Or someone with a backwards name.
Yeah.
Algae growing in the salt crust at the bottom of the lake produces a red pigment known as beta-carotene.
I know beta-carotene.
Mm-hmm.
That's good for you.
As part of its photosynthesis process.
Nice.
It's exacerbated because of the extremely high levels of salt in the water. The park authorities recommend that people do not come in contact with the water.
Don't get in that water.
The lake is expected to return to its normal color during the Australian winter months when the weather cools and the rainfall increases. So now I don't have to worry about animals killing me. I can worry about pink water killing me.
Yeah, it's a good point. Nothing is safe in Australia.
Goodness gracious, Australia, would you let up on the murder and the dying and all that?
And the water.
The
water. Pink water.
In the 0030s.
Yes.
Stop it.
Come on now. Okay, I got another pink story.
And the jocks.
Pink water story. We love Australia.
We do like it, mate.
That's all right, mate. We got lots of friends there.
That's not pink water.
That's okay, pink water story number two, Craig. Headline is, Canadian town sorry for pink tap water. We're sorry. They apologize.
We're
That's
sorry.
Nice, yes. A Canadian town has apologized after a water treatment plant turned the water supply pink. So this is in no way related with the Australian down under pink water.
Except the English.
The English, yes.
The Commonwealth.
Oh, yes, that's correct. Well, okay, maybe they're
you know,
related.
Australia, Canada. I don't know if they're even, are they even the same thing anymore?
I don't
are they
even
part
know.
Of the same thing? Crazy Brits.
Residents of Onaway, Alberta, complained to the town office when taps began running pink water on Monday. In a statement, Mayor Dale Krasnow,
I'm not done with taps yet,
said that there was no public health risk, but the town, you know what? Whenever I hear that from a town official,
I immediately know there's a public health
I go
risk.
Go buy bottled water.
They tried to pull that us in Michigan, remember?
Yes, I do. In a statement, Mayor Dale Krasnow said there is no public health risk, but the town could have done a better job communicating what was going on.
It did. They put everybody could see the water was pink.
Yeah, that's what's going on. You got pink water. The mayor said that it was an unfortunate side effect of a common water treatment chemical, potassium? Yes.
Potassium?
Potassium.
Are you trying to make it sound more uppity?
Yes,
I am. Potassium pomegranate.
The chemical is commonly used to remove iron and hydrogen sulfide from water, and the town office said it got into the reservoir when a valve malfunctioned during normal line flushing and filter backwashing.
Yeah, I bet they were flushing.
Yeah, I don't want flushing and backwashing going on in
how
my
about
water.
You, hey, how about you inspect those valves now and then?
Please do.
Canada.
The reservoir was drained, however. Some of the chemical still made it into the distribution system. While it is alarming to see pink water coming from your taps, potassium, whatever it is used in normal
calling it potassium pomegranate.
Yeah, is in normal treatment process to help remove iron and manganese.
Manganese?
To remove iron and manganese. And residents are never at risk. The chemical can cause skin irritation. Then I would say that the residents are at
I
risk.
I would say that that would be a risk.
According to the World Health Organization.
The WHO.
But the who said that?
The who?
But there were no reports of any adverse effects. Complaints were more about being kept in the dark. Residents said that they were...
Wait, was this a power issue?
No! The water made everything dark.
Oh, right. Yeah. Everything...
Residents
so the sun went out.
Said that they were annoyed that they were not told why the water was fluorescent pink until Tuesday morning. So they're very thirsty and they're cranky,
they
probably.
Weren't told until Tuesday morning or it was pink until Tuesday morning?
Both. This is a situation we can certainly learn from and develop a strategy for better response and communication should we ever face the same similar situation in the future.
Okay, Canada.
The mayor said.
If you can't handle some pink water, what's going to happen when the water gets contaminated in a deadly way?
Yeah, why don't you go to Michigan and see what happens? It's not pink.
I wouldn't.
It's more brown.
I don't want to go to Michigan.
No.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
What up?
Hey. Oh, now I want Mexican food. Mexican chef whips up world's priciest taco.
Well, how pricey could it be?
I don't know. I like the two for a dollar at Jack in the Box.
I think I've paid up to $5 for a taco one time.
Shrimp, caviar, truffle,
ew,
and gold flakes
gold
aren't
flakes.
Standard ingredients in Mexico's popular tacos.
You think those gold flakes are really like frosted flakes? Because those are worth the gold to me. You know what I'm saying?
Pretty, what you're saying. But Chef Juan Lucero, Lucerio?
It is Chef.
Lucerio, Acala. But Chef... Chef Juan Lucerio Acala uses them to create the world's most expensive taco.
Good
at
grief.
A U.S. dollar amount of $25,000.
That is one expensive taco.
Not surprisingly, no one has ordered one yet.
¿Dónde está la casa de taco? You didn't know I spoke Spanish,
si,
did you?
Si,
si. Si, yeah,
si. Si, si, si. The handheld dish made of a corn or wheat tortilla folded around a filling is a low-cost fare in Mexico. The chef at the Grand Velas Los Cabos Resort, a luxury vacation destination in Baja California, told AFP he decided to think outside the box. Okay, he stole that from Taco Bell.
He did. Oh, it's true. Because you can get a whole box of tacos for $5
there.
No,
outside the box. Yeah. Isn't that their slogan?
Yeah, it is. Run to the border.
People are excited and a little surprised about how you can eat a taco for $25,000, which is 497,000 pesos.
That's a lot of pesos.
When you can find one on the street for 10 pesos.
Yes.
Then I explain the delicacy, the technique, and the harmony that they will lift from the plate, and it is all worth it.
It says no one.
I don't know what that accent was. I went drifted off somewhere.
Nobody's ordered one yet. How does he know this?
I don't know. To make the over-the-top dish, the chef takes a corn tortilla speckled with 24-karat gold flakes and fills it with Kobe beef, shrimp, almas beluga caviar. Beluga.
Mm.
No matter what, still fish eggs.
Yes.
And black truffle brie cheese.
Let me stop you right there and ask this question. Why would someone sprinkle 24-karat gold flakes on anything that you're about to ingest?
What does that get you?
What does it get you?
24-karat poop.
Yes.
The taco is dressed with a salsa based on morita chiles and civet coffee. Civet coffee? Is
sure.
It civet?
I'm going to say it is.
A pricey liquid made from fermented droppings of a civet, eaten the berries of a coffee plant. I've heard of that, actually. Talked about that before.
Yeah, that coffee is very expensive, and I don't want any of it.
And if I want my my coffee to taste like crap, I'll just go to Shoney's. Can I get in trouble for that?
No.
Okay. For good measure, gold flakes are sprinkled on top. For good measure.
For good measure. If you're
to measure how much is in the cup?
If you're going to pay $25,000 for a taco.
He had to get it. He had to come up with a way to get it to $25,000, so he put $24,000 worth of tacos.
Yeah.
Because the caviar is probably what?
I don't know.
Close to $1,000.
I don't eat that stuff.
I don't either. Because if I'm hungry, fish eggs are not the first thing I'm looking for.
No, I go for the Boston baked beans.
Mm, yeah, we've heard. A week after the outrageously priced dish hit the menu, no one has ordered it, the chef admitted. He said many have shown interest.
Sure, I'd show interest if I was there.
Mostly U.S. customers who like to push the boundaries. I'd rather for $25,000 get to push the chef around. Ordering the world's most expensive taco has its own particular method. First, a customer has to put down a $12,500 deposit and already be staying in the presidential suite.
Good grief.
El Presidente.
No wonder he hadn't sold any.
The following is exactly what it says. The dish is presented in the middle of the desert, encircled by motorcycles or during a marriage proposal.
This is, you know what this is? It's a show.
I want to know how I went from presidential suite $12,000
to
the middle of the desert encircled by motorcycles during a marriage proposal. If money is no object, the chef has just the thing to complement the taco.
Ooh.
The luxury tequila Passion Azteca.
Ooh, that sounds terrible.
Or is it Passion
Azteca? I don't know.
At $150,000 a bottle.
What the?
This guy.
That better be one big bottle.
This guy is high on something.
You know, Craig, I see your $25,000 taco, and I raise you a $5,000 hamburger.
I'd rather have the $5,000 hamburger. Not because it's cheaper, but because it's a hamburger.
Amen. But the thing is, this story sounded so outrageous before I heard that other story. We should have done this one first because a $5,000
hamburger. It's like going on after the Stones.
It's like a
you can't
fast food. Yeah, right. Headline is, I tried a $5,000 hamburger and it was absolutely worth it.
Doubtful.
I doubt that, too, because I've had plenty of good burgers.
Because we've got a burger place nearby. We know.
Oh, yeah. And $6.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get a $5,000 burger for like $10 there, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Before I took my first bite of the Fleur Burger.
Fleur Burger.
$5,000. I was one of
those. Wait. Yeah. This is the Fleur Burger $5,000?
Yes. It's the $5,000, and it's. You have to pay a dollar for each one of those.
I heard the $4,000 was pretty good.
It's
I can't imagine
bad.
What the $5,000 is going to be like.
I was one of those people who thought paying $5,000 for a hamburger was both obscene and insane.
Because it is.
After all, a top-of-the-line burger from Shake Shack or In-N-Out costs less than $10. And they don't get much better than that, Craig, as you know.
Right.
But then I found myself in the kitchen of Fleur, Chef Hubert Keller's restaurant at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. I watched Keller quickly sear a patty of Wagyu beef. That's $100 a pound.
Key there. Key word.
Yes.
Sear.
Oh.
Didn't even cook it.
No. And douse it over and over again with rich butter, sealing in the flavor and the juice.
Raw burger dipped in butter.
Then I watched him slice and sear a few slabs of prime foie gras at $45 a pound, and combine the duck fat with more butter to saute a mound of sliced black truffles that are valued at $1,500 a pound. And after that, Carol Carol.
Carol was his mom. She was there while he was.
After that, Keller carefully layered the three ingredients onto a freshly baked fancy bun of some sort. The top ingredient, and the main reason for its price, was poured rather than cooked. A bottle of 1995 Petrus. The bottle, which can
often... used to like that band.
I still love Petra. The bottle, which can often sell for more than $5,000 in restaurants, comes with the price of the burger as the perfect pairing. So what you're getting is a fancy burger with a very expensive bottle of wine.
What you're getting is bamboozled.
That's it. With wine in hand, I lifted the earthy, oozing floor burger to my mouth and took my first bite. And for the first time ever on Secret Lives of the Super Rich, I was completely at a loss for my words. My exact quote on camera was, "Oh, wow, Craig."
Now, my quote was, "This burger's not even cooked."
What? Why does it taste like duck fat?
That's disgusting.
That is disgusting. Okay, Craig, there's no poo in this story, but there is a toilet, so I'm going to play this. Headline is, plan to flush evidence backfires when marijuana clogs toilet.
That's the kind of luck I would have.
Isn't it, though?
Toilet would work 100 times in a row. First time yeah. I threw some...
Cops!
Throw some weed down it. Yeah, right.
Two college wrestlers from Wichita, Kansas area were arrested by Great Bend police on Wednesday after allegedly attempting to flush a large quantity of marijuana down a toilet.
I want to see a Wichita wrestling match after they've smoked some weed. Yeah. I want to see what that's like.
Barton County Community College students Devin Baker and Sean Tabrowski.
Oh, not yeah, Devin and Sean.
Both 19 were arrested Wednesday afternoon after police executed a search warrant for drugs for a residence in the 100 block of Stone Street. According to the release...
Stone Street?
That's exactly it. I didn't even make that connection. According to the release, officers went to a residence on a tip that drugs were being sold from the location. When officers knocked and announced the warrant, the individuals inside refused to come to the door. No, man, we're just opening this bag of chips.
There's no one here.
We ain't even here.
There's no one here.
After forcing the door open, officers found that a large quantity of marijuana had been flushed down a toilet, causing the toilet to be clogged.
As a cop, I'm not going in for it.
Baker and Tabrowski, both athletes on college wrestling team, according to the school's webpage.
I think that's Taborski.
Whatever. Were both booked into the Barton County Jail on Wednesday and released later
that day. The Barton Fink County Jail?
That's the one. They were both charged with possession of marijuana and interference with a law enforcement officer. A third person, who was at the scene during the execution
Plumber?
Of the warrant, was released and not charged. Oh, man, I was just over here eating chips, you know.
Yeah, dude.
Both Baker and Tabrowski are listed as sophomores on the
school. No, were listed.
That's correct. On the school's wrestling roster, and both, according to the roster, are from Wichita. You mentioned our new voicemail, right?
Yeah.
We hadn't had a lot of luck with our number, so we're going a different route this time.
We still got our number,
right? The number still exists, yes, but we're not.
You mean we have a lot of luck because nobody knows how to use a phone?
No, it's just it was a little clunky, if you know what I mean. You had to go through some bells and whistles.
You're
to
a little clunky.
So what we've done, Craig, is we have added a button to our website and to our Facebook page where you just click that button and you can record a voicemail to us right there on your microphone.
I dare you.
On the computer.
I dare you.
Or if you're using a phone, you just talking to it. It's so simple. You push a button, you leave a message. And then you
I
might
like pushing buttons.
You know what? If you do that, you might hear something like this.
G'day, guys. It's Adam here. Just want to say what you guys are doing is pretty awesome here. Getting a chance to be on a successful podcast for once is just something really special. Brings a tear to my eye. Loving the Two Middle Aged Dudes voicemail. Hope you get a chance to use this and look forward to hearing myself on a show with some decent quality. Cheers.
So that was our second voicemail. We had a first voicemail from my friend Keith, and we're going to play that one next episode because it has something to do with our top 10 list next episode. So
yeah, and he's wrong.
Well, we'll discuss that next episode.
Nothing personal.
Nothing wrong with that. Maybe.
Nothing wrong with him being wrong.
Speaking of top 10 list.
America's top 10. Snobbiest cities.
I like snobs.
Yeah, I kind of like if you realize how stupid it is.
Yeah,
that they are for real and they are living in this bubble. And
I think
we're
of Ted Knight. Ted Knight's character in Caddyshack is who I think of when I think
just
of snobs.
Love Ted Knight.
Yeah.
Top 10 snobbiest cities. Number 10.
Yeah.
And We should put a disclaimer as usual.
Yes.
Not our opinion.
No, but this is from a official site. This okay. is not from our normal website.
So if we have listeners, well, they'd be too snobby to listen. Number 10, Providence, Rhode Island.
Yes, snots. Number 9, Salt Lake City, Utah. And I do.
They're salty.
We have some Utah listeners.
They're salty.
Yeah, they are.
Number 8. And you know, I did not find this is actually true.
Seriously?
San Francisco, California. When I was there, everybody was super. I mean, I didn't find anybody being snobby.
Number 7. Dallas, Texas.
I saw Willie Nelson in the airport there once.
I disagree with number 7.
Yeah.
Everybody in Dallas was very friendly.
And you know what? You want to make a list like this? You better don't mess with Texas.
No.
Number 6. Well, we know they're crazy.
Yeah.
Tampa, Florida.
Right. Number 5.
But snobby? Crazy maybe, but snobby.
Number 5, Boston, Massachusetts.
Now, I have heard
yeah.
from my daughter who went there, not friendly.
Yes.
Number 4, Washington, D.C.
I must concur with that. Yep.
I guess
I noticed that.
That's a whole town based on a bunch of weird.
And let's say right here, everywhere has snobs. There's snobs everywhere.
Yeah.
I think this top 10 list is just like there's more snobs.
It's bolding, underscoring, if you will.
Number 3, Los Angeles, California. Although I went to Los Angeles, everybody was friendly, but
yeah.
I didn't bump into the yeah. snobs, I guess.
Number 3, we said Los Angeles, right?
Right.
Number 2?
Yep.
That was yours, wasn't it?
Nope.
Was it mine?
I did L.A.
Miami, Florida.
I've never been to Miami. Number 1.
Maybe, possibly.
New York City, New
I
York.
I hear that's it.
Yep.
That's not snobby, rude. How about just instead of top snobbies, why don't you say the rudest?
Mean people.
Yeah.
When they got the naked cowboy.
I'm out of here. Thanks for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and review it within your favorite podcast app. You can also visit us on Twitter at 2MADAAM or on Facebook at Two Middle-Aged Dudes. Our website is 2dudes.stream. That's the number 2dudes.stream. If you have questions or comments about the show, you can email us at middleagedudes@gmail.com.